This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and here's President Trump just last week.
Well, Jared's done an outstanding job. I think he's been treated very unfairly. He's a high-quality person. He works for nothing, just so, you know, nobody ever reports that, but he gets zero.
Jared Kushner is President Trump's senior advisor and his son-in-law. He doesn't take a government salary, but whether he works for nothing, as the president says, has become another question. Up until a little more than a year ago, Jared Kushner was the public face of the Kushner Companies, the family real estate business.
Jared is truly outstanding. He was very successful when he was in the private sector. He's working on peace in the Middle East and some other small and very easy deals.
Jared Kushner stepped down from his official role at the family business, the Kushner Companies, when he joined the White House. But he hasn't completely cut ties with his family's real estate projects. And that's caught the attention of federal prosecutors in New York, state regulators, and special counsel Robert Mueller. Andrea Bernstein is senior editor for politics and policy for WNYC News, and she's been following Jared Kushner's business dealings for months. She's also co-host of the new podcast, Trump, Inc., from WNYC and ProPublica. Andrea, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, let's start with some basics about Jared Kushner. He's senior advisor to the president, and he's kind of famous now for having a really broad, kind of wide-ranging portfolio. But a big part of this story is that Jared Kushner is all over the world. He's meeting with leaders, having lots of different conversations in lots of different countries. What's his job? What is Jared Kushner doing when he's meeting with all these people around the world?
Well, as we heard, one of his main assignments is brokering Mideast peace. He was also put in charge of relationships with China and with Mexico. He is head of the White House effort on innovation and has presided over many meetings on infrastructure, or at least did when before all of the White House business councils disbanded in the wake of the Charlottesville fracas. And he also is working on prison reform. So kind of like his business empire, his White House empire is sprawling around the world and very varied.
So the president says a couple of small, easy deals aside from Mideast peace, but you're making the point that it's sprawling and broad. It's China, it's Mexico, prison policy, a lot of other things. Look, there have been concerns about public of interest, Andrea, ever since the election. Both the Trump Organization and the Kushner families, they both do business all over the world. And now they're doing diplomacy. They're negotiating trade. They're making deals on behalf of the United States. There have been a couple of business deals lately that have come under close scrutiny this week with Jared Kushner. What are they?
Well, it's quite a stunning number. So early in the week, the Washington Post reported that four foreign powers had been captured in some kind of intelligence intercepts, indicating that they wanted to influence the U.S. through Jared Kushner's business vulnerabilities. Now, there is no evidence that that happened, but this set off alarm bells even at the White House because there was anxiety about Jared Kushner going on meetings with foreign officials and not bringing in the standard briefing teams. So there was that story in the Washington Post, and then there was a story in the New York Times in which the New York Times reported that Jared Kushner, in his capacity at the White House, had met with executives of two lending companies, Apollo Global Management and Citigroup. And that he had met with them, Jared Kushner said, in his official capacity working on these issues, infrastructure, etc. But after the meetings, their lending arms had made a total of $500 million in loans to the Kushner companies. Now, Jared Kushner's lawyer spokesman and the Kushner companies both separately say, look, these were completely separate business transactions. Jared Kushner was working in his role as White House advisor, and these other things happened with the Kushner companies. And by the way, they were smart loans, well-backed. The buildings that they backed are valuable properties. The one is a skyscraper in Chicago. One is a sort of live-work space complex in Dumbo in Brooklyn. But in the case of the Chicago skyscraper and Apollo, we do know that the loan they gave the Kushner companies was three times their average real estate loan size.
So, Andrea, we can't put a pin on conflict of interest necessarily, but in these ethical questions with business and policy mixed together, we talk about the appearance of conflict of interest, because that can undermine American interests as well. And there are other issues with Saudi Arabia. Jared Kushner negotiated a huge $110 billion arms sale to Saudi Arabia in May. The Saudis also announced a $20 billion investment in Blackstone Group with ties to the Kushner family. Early in the administration, it was reported that Jared Kushner's sister told a group of Chinese investors when she was over there talking business that they might have access to hard-to-get visas to move to the United States.
The example of his sister, Nicole, in China, is probably the most direct example that we know of the Kushner companies using their White House ties to try to sell something. There were some reporters there. They saw it happen. The Kushner family later apologized and withdrew from this Chinese visa program. But the issue of conflict of interest, and in our Trump Inc. podcast, we have been looking at this broadly, because what all of the experts that we speak to say is it's not a matter of a particular business transaction getting mixed up with a particular public policy transaction. It is the inability to untangle people's impressions of these vast business empires. And there are three of them just within the Trump family at the White House. There's, of course, Donald Trump's vast business empire, and he declared that he has a no-conflict situation, so he still maintains ownership. But then following that, his daughter Ivanka and his son-in-law Jared Kushner also came in with their business empires worth at least many hundreds of millions of dollars, and also did not completely sever financial ties, although they all said we're not working on the day-to-day. But the problem that the ethics people tell us is there's just no way of knowing how any of these transactions come out. Or in the case that we were talking about the foreign intelligence, well, these foreign countries apparently think that these are levers. Maybe some business people think that doing a favor for the Kushner company, or not even doing a favor, just doing a deal, is somehow going to help them in their public interests. And that is the sort of fundamental contradiction of the Trump administration, is there's no way to sort out the motives of all of the people involved. And really, our systems of ethics and our Constitution did not foresee someone like Donald Trump and Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump being in the White House, because the laws are not really written to have the kind of clarity between what is happening in the public interest and what might be happening in the private interest. The laws just aren't written to account for this size of business empire.
Right. So, Andrea, it seems to me there are two major areas, to keep it simple, that we can look at here talking about conflict of interest. One, we're already talking about, is Jared Kushner self-dealing on America's dime? We don't know. There's appearance of conflict of interest. That's a problem. Getting loans while discussing official business, for example. The other, though, is whether he's too conflicted to do his job in national security. Jared Kushner lost his top secret security clearance, it was reported last week. Is that directly related to the type of business entanglements and the governments around the world who think they might have levers with him? Are those things related?
Well, maybe. One of the things we know is that his empire is so complex. I mean, it involves skyscrapers on Fifth Avenue at one of the most prestigious addresses in New York City, right next to Rockefeller Center, just a couple blocks from Trump Tower. So that's part of his real estate empire. His real estate empire includes the former New York Times building on Times Square. It also includes low-income apartments in Maryland and Ohio and Pennsylvania. And each of these empires has LLCs set up, limited liability corporations or shell companies, which could have hundreds of members. And we just don't know who is in those business empires. So one of the concerns that intelligence officials articulated in the Washington Post story was that foreign companies think that these vast, complicated business deals, and in the case of the Fifth Avenue skyscraper, the Kushner company has a deadline of paying off a $1.2 billion loan within the next year, and they haven't, that we know, raised money. So there is all of this potential that foreign governments could think that they could exploit these business needs of the Kushner companies to somehow advance their own interests.
Well, we don't know why Jared Kushner can't get a top secret clearance. The White House won't discuss it, but it's evident that people in the national security apparatus who are in charge of reviewing these things and granting authorization for these clearances think that Jared Kushner shouldn't have one. And then the question becomes, once you've talked about all the business ties, Andrea, how can he do his job without access to top secret information? You know, can he broker Middle East peace? Can he talk about Egypt and Saudi Arabia, for starters, China, for that matter, without top secret clearance?
Well, the Kushner family, as our partners at ProPublica have reported, has donated to settlements on the West Bank. And his family is very close to the prime minister, Bibi Netanyahu, who has been to the Kushner family home in New Jersey. So even assuming that Kushner was on neutral territory and could do it, I think the answer is he works for the president. So whatever the president wants, he can do. I mean, I also think it's worth pointing out that the Trump White House, and particularly the president, has been at war with the national security apparatus in some way since even before he became president. So I think it's just important to view these stories in that context of there is a lot going on in Washington and that back and forth.
And Andrea, before we go, because I have a feeling that you and I are going to be talking about this again, is Robert Mueller looking at all of this? Is if he's looking at business dealings and official acts, could Jared Kushner potentially be in some trouble?
Well, we do know that in the Flynn guilty plea, he said that he had been in touch with a very senior campaign official who's been identified as Jared Kushner in discussions during the transition over being in touch with the UN about a vote about Israel sanctions. And we don't know where Mueller's going with that. So that is a big question of his investigation. And then the other thing that's been looked at is Jared Kushner's meeting with a Russian banker during the transition. So Kushner says that there are explanations for all of these things. We just have to wait and see what Mueller finds.
And not just a Russian bank, but a Russian bank that was under U.S. sanctions at the time. Andrea Bernstein, senior editor for Politics and Policy at WNYC. Download her podcast, Trump Inc., from WNYC and ProPublica. Get a lot more of this type of coverage of the Trump and Kushner business empires. Andrea, thank you.
Thank you so much.